This morning, and I want you to stay with me, this morning we're going to talk about the Trinity. Now, I can't tell you the number of people I've told that we're speaking on the Trinity that were like, well, good luck with that, because here's the problem with the Trinity. I can see your face, Chad. You're cracking me up. Chad, okay, so here's the thing with the Trinity. When you say I'm going to talk on the Trinity, this is usually what happens to any discussion about the Trinity. So if you will you play that video for me? That is normally how discussions of the Trinity devolve very, very quickly. The idea of the Trinity is one of the more complicated theological aspects of our belief system. That the idea of the Trinity, God cut into three parts, God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit, how does it work? And so usually what happens is when we try to discuss complicated things like the Trinity, it usually ends up going about like that, even when everybody is the same religion. Because here's the problem. We usually miss the point entirely when it comes to larger aspects of theology. You say to me, how can you fully explain God the Father, Jesus the Son, the Holy Spirit? Can you fully explain the Trinity? No, I cannot. Here's what I can do, though. I can extrapolate out a very, very, very helpful point when it comes to talking about the Trinity. And that's what I want to try and do this morning. So turn, if you will, to Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Genesis chapter 1 and verse 26. Genesis 1 and 26, then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Okay, what does that mean? Does that mean God has a nose and two ears and two eyes? Let us make man in our image. Do you see how he's speaking plurally? God is talking to within the Godhead. He is speaking within the Godhead. Let us make man in our image according to our likeness. What is the likeness of God? The likeness of God is the Trinity. That is how we resemble God. Let's pray. God, ask in the next few moments that you will begin to speak to us, spirit unto spirit. We long to hear from you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I was taking a trip to a conference that my parents were doing in Delaware, of all places. And they get to fly, but I have to drive. This was years ago when I was still working for my dad full-time at his missions organization. And so I would drive to these different conferences that my parents would do and sell material in order to generate revenue for our missions agency. So we would sell CDs of my dad's sermons or books that he had written, different things like that. And so while my folks would fly to these places, I would have to drive in the van that the ministry owned and take all the material with me. So I was driving from Florida to Delaware. And so I got up to Virginia Beach, Virginia, Hampton, you know, Virginia, right there on the coast. And I got on what is the Chesapeake Bay Bridge and Tunnel, the CBBT, the Chesapeake Bay Bridge and Tunnel. And I was going from Virginia to the Delmarva Peninsula, which is Delaware, Maryland, Virginia. And you have to go across the Chesapeake Bay. And they built this monster bridge and tunnel system. It is 23 miles long. It has two tunnels that are more than a mile long each, and a bridge. So you drive out over the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, you're on a bridge, and then it slowly begins to slope down, and you begin to drive under the Chesapeake Bay Bridge, or under the Chesapeake Bay, for more than a mile. You come back up on a man-made island, you drive across a bridge for a little while longer, you go back under the bay, under the water, under the dirt, for more than a mile, back up onto another bridge, and then back onto the Delmarva Peninsula, 23 miles long from beginning to end. If you have never been in a tunnel that is underneath an ocean that is more than a mile long, it is a horrible, horrible experience. I didn't realize I was scared of tunnels until I drove in one that was more than a mile long under an ocean. Because here's the most terrifying part of all. I had the radio on. And as you slowly begin to descend into the tunnel, you lose the radio reception. And finally, it's gone entirely. Why? Because there are thousands and thousands of pounds of dirt and rocks and an ocean between you and the radio waves. And I thought, if somebody gets an accident down here, we're all gonna die. There is no way out of this thing. It's so deep that you can no longer get the radio waves. Now, my question to you is this. Were the radio waves still there? Yes. The radio station didn't go off. The radio station didn't turn off. Were the radio, was it still broadcasting? Yes, it was. I know this because the further I drove back up the other side, eventually the static left and I picked up the same radio station again. Why couldn't I get it when I was in the bottom of that tunnel? Because all the debris was between me and the transmitter. The transmitter was not wrong. The message was still coming. What was screwed up was the receiver. The receiver was screwed up because there was dirt and rocks and water between me and the waves, between me and the radio waves. The transmission was still going out. The receiver was no longer able to pick it up. And God said, "Let us make man in our image." What does it look like? We look like the Trinity. There are three parts to any human: body, soul, spirit. For soul, you can also say mind. The body is our senses, hearing all the things that are in our actual physical body. The soul or the mind, the Bible over and over again uses soul. For this purpose, I'm gonna use soul in this sermon as well. The soul is our personality. Our subconscious, our emotions, our choices, all of those things are the soul. The spirit is the eternal part of us. The spirit is the eternal thing. It's the thing that goes on after we have passed, after this body has given out. The Bible tells us, and we'll look at it in just a minute, that God speaks to us spirit unto spirit. God speaks to us spirit unto spirit. So you say to yourself, why can't I hear from God? There's nothing wrong with the transmission. The receiver is broken. The receiver is garbled. There's too much stuff in our soul that is keeping us, the filter on our soul is clogged. And he cannot speak spirit unto spirit because of things that we have done, choices we have made, our past, things that others have done to us, our pain, poor choices, sin, addiction, and our soul becomes clogged. And he can no longer speak spirit unto spirit. So what do we do? Turn, if you will, to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. Paul is writing to the church at Thessalonica, and he says this, 1 Thessalonians 5:23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your, what? Whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless. The first thing is this. There is cooperation within the Trinity, and there should be cooperation with inside of us. Too often we get mad at one aspect or the other. What happens is that we get frustrated with our body because we think that we try to separate them out. We try to compartmentalize our lives. What we say is, as long as I go to church, as long as I occasionally read my Bible, as long as sometimes I pray, as long as I do this or I do that, then it doesn't matter what I do or how I act or what I think or where my body goes or what my mind thinks about. There is cooperation within the Trinity, and there should be cooperation within our body. And may God himself sanctify you completely. Sanctify you completely. How? In your body, in your soul, and in your spirit. We are sanctified completely. The Trinity, we have to combine all three aspects of our personhood in order to become whole. The idea this morning is the idea of wholeness. I'm not really speaking on the Trinity. I am in a very vague and theoretical sense of the word. What I want is for us to be whole. What I want is for us to be healed, to be complete. And as long as we refuse to see the various aspects of our life cooperate, we will never be whole. We will never be complete. Look at John chapter 20. Jesus is speaking to the disciples after he has been resurrected. John chapter 20 and verse 21. He's speaking to them after the resurrection. So Jesus said to them again, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said to them, receive the Holy Spirit. Do you see how the Trinity works together? The Father sends the Son. The Son gives us the Holy Spirit. We should not be against our body. We're not warring within ourselves. We shouldn't be angry within ourselves. We should be trying to understand how all three aspects of who we are can work together and cooperate in order to get us to where we're supposed to be. The Father sent the Son. The Son gives us the Holy Spirit. The same way body, soul, and spirit work together to make a whole person. The whole person cooperates together. Now the second thing is this. Look, if you will, at Romans. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, beginning with verse 5. Romans 8 and 5. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can it be. So then, those who are in the flesh cannot please God. But you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if indeed the Spirit of God dwells in you. For if anyone does not have the Spirit of Christ, he is not his. Skip to verse 13, same chapter. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Again, skip to verse 16. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. Leave that verse up for just a second. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit. God's Spirit speaks to our spirit, spirit unto spirit, and he reminds us we are children of God. The second thing in becoming whole is the idea of integration. First, you have to have cooperation, but second, you have to have integration. Now, I'm not going to put anybody on the spot, so you don't have to call out or respond or raise your hand. But how many of you remember from probably middle school math the idea of integers? Remember integers? What was an integer? An integer is any whole number. Any whole number. So 12 is an integer. 12.4 is not. It is a fraction. There is something else on it. Any whole number, whether positive or negative, negative 162 is an integer. 1 million is an integer. Any whole number. That's what the idea of integration means. Integration means that everything is working together. It is made complete. It is whole. That is what we are missing. What we do is we compartmentalize our lives. We don't allow ourselves to work together and we don't become made whole. Do you remember the old show, the Andy Griffith Show? I used to watch the Andy Griffith Show all the time when I was a little kid. One of the few things my mom would let us watch on television. I love the Andy Griffith Show. One of my favorite shows. And I always remember this episode. You remember this episode about this couple in town? And they were the nicest people to everybody else in town. Everybody loved them. They were so nice to each other, or to everybody else. But to each other, they fought like cats and dogs. Andy and Barney would go to their house every night and break it up, and she'd be throwing dishes at them. And you'd hear them screaming and yelling inside the house, and Barney and Andy would ring the doorbell, and she'd open the door, and she'd be like, oh, hey, Andy. Hey, Barney, y'all come in and get some coffee. And she'd be so sweet to Andy and Barney, but they wouldn't be sweet to each other because they had compartmentalized their lives. So what does Andy do? He tries to teach them how to be nice to each other. I don't know if you remember this episode. So he teaches them how to talk nice to each other and act nice to each other and be respectful. And so they start doing that and they actually begin to have a nice relationship with each other. But what happens? They become mean to everybody else. They start attacking people on the streets of Mayberry because they only have so much niceness inside of them, apparently. So they can either be nice to everybody else and mean to each other, or they can be nice to each other and mean to everybody else. Why? Because they're not integrated. They're not whole. They're not a whole person. They're not working together, body, soul, and spirit. The idea of the Trinity is a Trinity that is an integer, a whole number. It is complete. It is not lacking of anything. It is not, the Spirit bears witness to our spirit, spirit unto spirit. Now, I wanted to lay the ground rules for it first. The idea is that the Trinity cooperates within the triune Godhead, and so our body, soul, and spirit should cooperate. The next is that it should be have integration. Everybody is working for the same thing, moving in the same direction. The Godhead does that. Jesus says over and over again in his ministry, I don't do anything that the Father did not send me to do. The same way he says, I will send the Holy Spirit who does the will of the Father which is in heaven. So they are together, cooperating and together. All right, so here's the thing though. How do we get that? I was at the AT&T store yesterday trying to get Owen's phone upgraded and do some stuff. I was talking to a lady who was helping me there. And we started a conversation. She found out I was a preacher. And in the course of that conversation, she asked me, what are you preaching on tomorrow? So I told her, I said, well, I'm preaching on the idea of becoming whole, the idea of our body and our soul and our spirit all becoming whole. She said, wow, that's really good. She said, well, how do you do that? So I explained it to her, and now I'm hopeful that I can explain it to you too, because we have the idea. We see the model. The model is a model of cooperation and integration, where the Trinity works together, but how does it work for us? Turn, if you will, to Psalm chapter 23. This is probably the most famous psalm written by the most famous psalmist, which is Psalm 23, written by David. I just want to look at verse 3. Psalm 23 and verse 3. He restores my soul. Just want to leave that first little part up there. He restores my soul. Now, this is vital to the think. He does not say he restores my spirit. I want to tell you something. There is nothing wrong with your spirit. There is nothing wrong with anyone's spirit anywhere in the world. It is our soul that becomes grimy and dirty, and the filter becomes full, and God can no longer speak to us spirit unto spirit. There are times and moments in everyone's life, even the most despicable human being, even the worst murderer or anything else you could think of, there is a moment in their life where their spirit connects through all the dirt and grime, and the transmission is still there, but the receiver is broken. But for a split second, the spirit picks it up and the receiver connects, and that person's spirit speaks to God's spirit. And God says, you don't have to live like this. You don't have to do this. I created you for a purpose and a destiny. What happens? Their soul shuts it down. The soul says, we're not going there. Your soul, your mind, for lack of a better word, your mind can thwart what God wants your spirit to be doing. That is why body, soul, and spirit have to be working together. The answer to the lady in the AT&T store is the same answer I have for you. How we become whole is by restoring our soul. So it is restoration. It's an idea of restoration. Yes, there is cooperation. Yes, there is integration. Those things are fine, but how we become whole is allowing him to restore our soul. We must practice soul prosperity. You say, well, I've never been and never will be a prosperity type speaker, preacher, philosophy, theology, whatever you want to put on that prosperity thing. Other than this, I do believe in soul prosperity, because life strips away and depletes your soul. And you must allow God to restore your soul. Your spirit is in there, and your spirit longs to communicate and commune with the Spirit of God. But our choices, our mind, our habits, our subconscious, our conscious, our emotions, the pain of our past, the decisions we make in the present, all of those things are keeping our spirit from communicating with His. We don't need our spirit restored. We need our soul restored. You must practice soul prosperity, where you allow your soul to grow. You allow God to cultivate your soul. All of you know this little creature, the hermit crab. The hermit crab lives in a shell that he doesn't make, a shell that he finds. And then as it grows too large for its shell. So it goes around until it finds an appropriate shell the next size up. And then it quickly, because it has no natural protection other than the shell it finds, it quickly scuttles from its older shell that's now too small to a new shell that's bigger. And it leaves that shell for some other hermit crab that needs it at that stage of life. And by that way, the hermit crab continues to grow larger and larger and larger as it fills larger and larger and larger shells. I want to propose to you, too many of us are still living in the shell that we got when we got saved. If you are in the same shell you were 10 years ago when you got saved, something is wrong. We can only grow as large as the soul, as long as the soul is being restored and prospered, as long as God is pouring into us. He restores my soul. But if we don't ever cast off the shell and move on to a larger thing, we will never grow and we will never become whole. The idea is to become whole, to be healed, to become well, body, soul, and spirit working together, cooperating in order to move to where God wants us to move. But if we refuse to go to a larger shell, if we refuse to let Him restore our soul, we miss out on it. The final thing is this. Look at Romans chapter 12. So this is what happens. If you allow God to restore your soul, then this happens. Paul is writing to the church at Rome, and he says, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice." There's the first thing, body. We sacrifice it, we give it to God. God, my body is yours. You present your body a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. That's what we want, is transformation. How? By the renewing of your mind or your soul, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The final thing is this. Once we have been restored, then the transformation comes. We have the restoration, and then we get the transformation. We become new. We become whole. We become made well. But that never happens if we do not present our bodies as a sacrifice and allow our minds or our soul to be renewed and restored. Do you understand how it all works together? Now, the cooperation we saw from the Trinity, the integration that happens inside the triune Godhead, all of those things now show us how we can become transformed. See, what happens is, like the video we watched, we argue about the idea of the Son of God. We argue about these huge things, and we miss the stuff that is so obvious. We get caught up in trying to understand how the Trinity works and how does this work. What God is saying is, let us make man in our image. And the image of God is three in one. Just as we are body, soul, and spirit, so is the Trinity. And the transformation that can happen in your life will only happen if you allow body and soul to be restored. Why do we have so many people that have been saved and had an experience with Jesus, had an experience with God, and yet continue to struggle with things in their life? In my opinion, it is because they have not allowed God to restore their soul, to renew their mind. We are not whole. We are compartmentalized Christians. And the Spirit, our spirit, is crying out to connect with the Spirit of God. But this body and this mind are putting up interference, and we cannot speak spirit unto spirit. The final thing I want you to look at is 1 Corinthians chapter 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 10. But God revealed them to us through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of man except the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now look at this one. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we may know the things which have been freely given to us by God. Keep that up there for a second. The only way that you can hear from God, the number of people that tell me, how do you hear from God? How do you know when God's speaking to you? You can only do it if you're made whole, if your mind and your soul is restored and renewed, if your body is presented as a living sacrifice, then you are transformed into wholeness. You are made whole, and when we are made whole, then we can speak spirit unto spirit. It says the flesh cannot speak to the spirit. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to do it in our own body. We're trying to make it happen. If I act nice enough, if I do enough good stuff, if I go to church, if I occasionally pray, and we try to do it in our body. But we present our body as a sacrifice. We renew and restore our mind, and then His Spirit can speak to our spirit, and we are transformed because we have heard from God. You want to be transformed? You want to hear from God? It begins by the renewing and the restoring of your mind or your soul. So you say, what does that look like? How does that work in a regular person? Let me close with this. My wife, Courtney, is an amazing mom and wife and friend and Christian and person. I could not imagine my life without her. This year in May, we will celebrate our 20th wedding anniversary. But more than that, I will be 42 years old this summer. We started dating each other when I was 15 years old. She has been in my life for a lot longer than she has not been in my life at this point. 15 years old when we begin to date. I want to tell you a story about something that my wife struggled with for years and years and years, to see the idea of becoming made whole. For years after we got married, Courtney always had stomach issues, problems. Anytime we'd eat a meal, no matter what she ate, her stomach would always hurt. Well, maybe it's bread. Well, maybe it's, you know, steak. Maybe it's chicken. Maybe it's this. Maybe it's that. I think she was hoping it was asparagus or broccoli, but it didn't seem to be. So she would try different food combinations, eat these things and not eat that, eat this stuff together and not eat this. Nothing worked. Nothing worked. And for years and years, we'd go out to a nice dinner, or she'd make something in the house. It didn't matter. And afterwards, her stomach would just kill. It would just hurt. And just always felt bad for her. There seemed to be nothing to do. We had been married probably for a decade or more. And Courtney came to me and said that she was beginning to pray that God would restore and renew her relationship with her dad. I'm not, you know, trying to put anybody's business on the street, but Courtney's parents are divorced. They got divorced when she was a little girl. And as she grew older, her relationship with her father was difficult. My relationship with her father was difficult. And it was difficult. Courtney said that God began to work in her and say to her, you need to forgive your dad. You need to begin to restore this relationship with him. You need to begin to do it on your end. So Courtney began to, whenever her dad would call her and want to try and, you know, You know how the people we're the closest to know how to so easily push our buttons? Isn't that a wonderful thing about being in a relationship? You know, you just go boop and right? You just hit the one button and thermonuclear warfare breaks out. Because the people you're the closest to know your secrets, know your weak points, know your the place you can push that hurts the most. So if her dad would call her and he would begin those types of discussions on those types of issues, Courtney would just say, hey, Dad, I love you. I got to go. And she began to short circuit that. She began to pray for her dad. She began to ask for forgiveness inside. God, help me to forgive my dad. She never told her dad she was doing any of this. After a good long time, a year or more, she came to me one day after work or something, and she said, I feel like I had a breakthrough with my dad. She said, I just feel like God broke through in my life. It wasn't like a sit-down, cry-it-out meeting with her father. It was just something that happened inside of her. And she said, I just feel like I've gotten over this thing with my dad. I just feel like I'm better. I feel like God has done something inside of me. About 2 or 3 months after that, we were sitting on the couch one night, and she said, you know, I've noticed a weird thing. I said, what? She said, ever since that day where I felt like that thing with my dad happened, my stomach doesn't hurt anymore when I eat. And I realized she was right. She hadn't complained about it in months and months. And from then to this day, Courtney has been completely healed of whatever the ailment was that bothered her with stomach issues when she ate. That is what wholeness looks like. That is what wholeness looks like. You allow God to restore and renew your mind. He heals your body. He speaks to your spirit. And we are made whole. That is what the Trinity is trying to show us. Not complicated theological discussions about the Son of God. It is showing us the way that we can be made whole. That our body and our mind can be healed and our spirit can speak to His spirit. Courtney's relationship with her dad now is better than it's ever been. My relationship with him is better than it's ever been. It happened because Courtney allowed God to restore her soul. And when her soul was restored, her body was healed, and her spirit was able to speak to God's spirit, and she was made whole. We can have that too. We can have that too. We do not have to go through life compartmentalized, angry, never being healed, never being made whole, never being made complete. The idea of the Trinity is an idea of wholeness, body, soul, and spirit.